Today we're going to talk about the topic of ecumenistry or nations. And some of you may be saying, what? I'm not interested in ordination. I'm just here because I'm interested in enterprise, or I'm interested in the restorative justice program, or I'm interested in philosophy or economics, or I am in ministry and I'm already ordained. Is this ordination required? No, this is totally an optional thing. You might be already ordained, and here at Christian Leaders for formal ministry training, you may not need or want to be ordained. But we know this is an interest, and we also know it would be good for you to look at this, consider this. Maybe someone you know might be interested in this program. And also, it's good for you to understand the nature of certification. Christian Leaders Institute, for instance, is accredited by peers, not just ourselves. We actually have leaders who have come in and analyzed our curriculum, other professors and other intellectuals who look at what we're doing and accredit. In a sense, they ordain us to bring credibility to the community, to the world in what we're doing. Many people need this. Doctors need certifications. So this is a great, great topic for you to look at anyway and just be informed on how that works. And if you are interested in it down the road, you always know you can go back to it. So we're going to talk about ordination. Ordination brought reproducibility to new leader cultivation structure. That's a big line there. What we're really talking about here is in the early church, within 100 years of the resurrection, leaders were recognized as ordained. This recognition answered the question, how are future Christian leaders of the church going to be noticed from other Christians who are not called into service? How will the community know those who are set apart into ministry? Most people expect some marker. That's what I talked about before. That doctors, you know, we expect doctors to have certification. That tells us that someone is prepared and qualified to act as a leader. This question came up in the book of Timothy when the Apostle Paul talked about reproducible qualifications of the office of elder and deacon. The Apostle Paul saw ordination as office bearer as a good thing. In other words, it's good to want to be certified, to be ordained. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 says, The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Now, it's interesting that right now in the world, over 20 million people have been ordained through the Universal Life Church, and even more through various online downloadable, you buy a package, you have very little to do in terms of training or local accountability, but someone can actually buy a legal ordination. These types of ordinations are usually legal in most places in the USA. These ordinations, however, are considered shallow in most circles, and here's why. There is no independent verification that the ordination candidate walks with God or possesses the internal calling and external calling that we've talked about previously. There is no community of Christians or Christian leaders who commend these leaders. The Apostle Paul commended Phoebe as a deacon. Phoebe did not commend herself, Romans 16, verse 1. 3, there is no biblical training system that prepares Christian leaders. There is no one way to independently verify that someone actually did prepare for ministry. And 4, since these ordinations are mere transactions, a small percentage of those ordained have occurred in local churches by existing ordained leaders. Now, the fact is that that's one end of the spectrum. One end being that these legal ordinations really do not mean very much at all. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, there is the many, many, many hoops to ordination. On the other side of the coin, most denominations have long and complicated paths to ordination that stop the ordination of many called Christian leaders. I was ordained in the Christian Reformed Church in 1988 as a minister of the Word. To qualify as a candidate for ordination in this denomination, I had to get my bachelor degree from a U.S. Department of Education college. Then, with good grades, I could be accepted into Calvin Seminary. I received my Master of Divinity at Calvin. After graduating from Calvin Seminary, I was still not ordained. I went through preaching tests, psychological tests, church examinations at regional gatherings called classes meetings. Somehow, I had to get a calling from a local Christian Reformed church that was willing to provide me a paid position. If I did not get a calling, I then still was not ordained. In other words, I could not just be ordained as a leader unless a church actually called me to this ordination. Now, on the other end of the scale, again, in many churches, is an ordination on the spot. Many independent or charismatic churches do not have a consistent pattern for ordaining leaders. Many churches require no formal ministry training. Now, the strength of this model is that more Christian leaders are able to be ordained into ministry. The weakness is that without some important process in place, many ordained leaders are ordained before the due process. The Apostle Paul warns, "Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sin of others. Keep yourselves pure." So what we have here is, you know, a wide open, you know, there's a phrase in the United States, the Wild West. You know, we have a Wild West of ordination and certification of ministry leaders. We have the Universal Church and online legal ordinations. We have mainline denominations, ancient denominations, where the ordination is this long process that few actually get through. We also have ordinations on the spot, which then, you know, create a another set of problems. Something else that's interesting, too, is that in general in the population, the default setting is that people want those who are ordained clergy to have more of a due process. And that's just true. And there is perceived to be different ranks then because of this. It appears that those with a seminary Bible school education and ordination have a higher ranking as clergy. Now, in a lot of ways, this feels, as I read this, sort of like, is that true? That rank matters? And what I mean by rank here is that in people's mind, they perceive that someone who's gone through some hoops, if you're going to entrust your soul with them, that the one who has gone through some hoops, the credibility is there as a clergy member. That'd be like saying to a doctor, you know, you mean you had no examinations, you had no training. We would rank a medical doctor who's had much training higher than, let's say, someone who's read a few books, studied a few things, and then calls themselves a doctor. This clergy ordination seems to garnish more respect. A large number in every society believe this way for a number of reasons. Those that have done formal ministry training are perceived to know more about the Bible and ministry-related topics. 2, most want to put the care of their souls in the hands of trained and qualified people. 3, many people have met people who were ordained online who had no training. The lack of training is noticed and the ordination is not trusted. And 4, people intuitively want their leaders to study the subjects of their leadership. On top of this is even other characteristics of current clergy ordinations. These are the ones that provide more hoops. One is this completed training in their area of leadership. In other words, it's a completed and verified leadership training. Two, that training was highly regarded with quality professors and teachers. Three, the individual was in connection with existing church leadership for accountability. Four, a process of recommendations from others confirmed the ordained candidate's internal and external calling. Five, some directory includes this person's name and what they have accomplished in terms of their preparation for ministry. And six, they have been ordained at a local church with the laying on of hands. So you can see that in many ways, people will trust the clergy, their ordained clergy, who have gone through a whole process. Because like we trust a doctor with certification, the care of our souls, we intuitively know that people who are in the ministry or in any specialization should have some form of independent certification, ordination. There should be a process in place. And this is very, very important, and it's understandable why it is. Christian Leaders Institute includes all these elements. All these processes are present as you study at Christian Leaders Institute. You begin your studies, examine your calling for ministry. And on this whole point too is remember how we define ministry. It's to learn to serve. So we believe if you're here for ministry training in the Christian leader church circle, wonderful. Even if you're here for enterprise or you're here for philosophy or economics or in the restorative justice program, we actually believe that calling is for all people. So in a lot of ways, we like the fact that you're examining who you are. You learn who you are and what God has called you to do. You find a local mentor community to help you. You plug in, or you are plugged in, to a local church. When you are ordained in a local setting as a deacon minister. And we're going to talk more about what we mean by deacon minister. Since CLI is free and generosity supported, one does not need to go into debt to be fully trained and duly ordained. So that's what we're excited about here. We're excited about this opportunity for you to, you know, be able to thrive. And so, and from a clergy perspective, Christian Leaders Institute delivers. We bring accredited professors. We ourselves have an independent accreditation. In the future, we will look at even U.S. Department of Education accreditation, because we're interested in bringing you, even though this is a generosity supported free training opportunity, we take serious the elements that bring you credibility. We also understand this as a dual ordination. Now, what does that mean? That means, let's say you're already ordained in another system. We welcome you to be ordained in our system as well, as a wonderful exercise. Or maybe you want to be ordained here first and then later on be ordained in another system. We work with partners, church planting partners and others that want a leader to be ordained here first. And then that gives credibility when they go into their local denomination situation. Whatever that is, this is a credible clergy opportunity that will be highly respected. Now, will it be highly respected in every circle? Well, we're in the process of that, and let me tell you why. You know, in a lot of ways, Christian Leaders Institute is very disruptive. A new a new ordained leader who has a Christian Leaders Alliance ordination, at first they go like, what is this organization? Oh, online. All online ordinations don't mean anything. And really, they don't understand we're not fully online. We have an online component. You must get a local community. You have local ordained leaders. There is a process in place, but because this is online, you know, people right away think, oh, this must be the Universal Life Church, when in fact it is not at all. It is a process with many hoops, and I congratulate you as you step through those hoops. Your ordination means something. It's grounded in study, grounded at a local level. There's internal, external calling to deal with. All of these things are there. It's just the day where the internet allows us to beam high-quality training into local relationships, which allow things like ordination. So understand that. Now, I want to shift gears here in the second part of this presentation to talk about a wonderful opportunity that Christian Leaders Institute brings to local ordained leaders in local churches. You know, let me explain. So I was a pastor in a more, I would call mainline biblical denomination called the Christian Reformed Church. And in my denomination, we would ordain local elders and deacons. We would ordain them and we would lay our hands on them. And they, being ordained, would have the standing to minister in our local church. But here's what I noticed. I noticed that we went through this process, and there was a whole church order that outlined this process. But many times, these ordained leaders received no ministry training whatsoever. We did not use, in a kingdom way, in a servant way, these ordained leaders to minister to the community. We all knew they had no training or little training. A few of those leaders were activistic and really wanted to go out there and make a difference, but it wasn't long when the other experienced ordained local leaders would sort of say, calm down, that's the minister's work. At Christian Leaders Institute, because of how this is set up, this holds promise for leaders, pastors, and others at existing churches to actually have qualified, trained leaders that can be ordained as vocational, bivocational, post-vocational, ordained local leaders. And they'll be ordained locally as, you know, an elder or a deacon. And they will still be on the Christian Leaders Institute International Directory. So they will have some of the best of both worlds. They'll be able to be ordained locally, not connected to a denomination, just connected to that local church. Permission is not needed from the denomination to ordain them, because in most local ordinations, even at mainline churches, there's no need for permission from a denomination. These are local ordained leaders. So what if a pastor could have a local ordained leader who is trained with extensive ministry training? Their ordination was on an international directory so that in their local context, they would have more ordained leaders to help them without having to get tangle up in the whole denominational ordination piece. So it's to that problem and to solve that problem. Because I remember I wish that I had options for my local ordained elders and deacons to get more training to function more effectively and be ordained locally at our church, but recognized internationally. So it's to that that Christian Leaders Institute is seeking an upgraded local leaders ordination. Local ordinations of elders and deacons is common throughout Christendom. And how we understand this is you begin your studies examining your calling for ministry. You learn who you are and what God has called you to do. You find a local mentor community to help you. You plug into a local church. When you are ordained in a local church setting as a minister deacon. Remember, since CLI is free and generosity supported, one does not need to go into debt to be fully trained and duly ordained. Now, I just repeated a slide, and it applies both to the clergy piece and it applies to people who are connected and upgraded in local leader ordination. So let's get deeper into this subject now, because most traditions have one thing in common. Local ordained elders and deacons are usually not expected to receive any formal ministry training. Because ministry training is lacking, the public, the general public, and many in the churches where they are ordained do not take these ordinations very seriously. No credible international ordination directory will list them. The office bearers that receive formal ministry training are the pastors who go to seminary or Bible college. The exception to this is, of course, the charismatic tradition, where the pastor who planted the church and it grows is are given great authority. Many times they themselves realize that they need formal ministry training. So most ordination systems have local ordinations that lack one piece. That piece is high quality ministry training. Christian Leaders Institute provides that one piece that works with most local ordination systems. Christian Leaders Institute can assist called Christian leaders into this ordination where they are ordained as local leaders and have all the ordination standing needed to be highly respected. This means local pastors can mobilize their local leaders who will be more effective. This also means that called Christian leaders have an effective series of steps that give them a highly respected ordination that includes local leaders, ministry training at Christian Leaders Institute, and the international recognition at Christian Leaders Alliance. Now, we call this ecumenistry. In many ways, it functions where we serve a whole wide group of people with an ordination, and whether it's non-denominational churches, for non-denominational churches, this ecumenistry may be the primary way they reproduce clergy. For denominational churches, this gives them an option to be able to ordain local deacon ministers, or they could be upgraded to elders at a local level where they get more help with ordination possibilities and certification for local ministry. In the Pentecostal church, the ecumenistry allows you to have a formal training option that makes ordination more credible in your community. For the Baptist church, you know, that's more like a denominational church. The congregation, all the same way. Even in ancient churches, I know of students that are at local Catholic churches, but that are ordained as, let's say, an officiant in the Christian Leaders Alliance, so that they can serve their community by doing community weddings. So there are so many ways that this can work. How does it work? Well, the local church is raising up the next generation of Christian leaders. Revival-seeking ministers are looking for those who will join the team to proclaim Christ. Many times, this means recruiting believers in their churches to use their gifts for ministry. Some of these believers may sense the call to ministry. These upcoming leaders need mentoring and coaching in how to serve in their local churches and communities. The Christian Leaders Alliance desires to help those seeking ordination and the church leaders who desire to support this process. The ordination program is locally focused to help pastors to mobilize local leaders to help in their local communities. Now, we've actually coined the phrase local ecumenistry ordination, and let me talk about that. So the Christian Leaders Alliance is ecumenistry focused. We coined a new word. The word ecumenical has the following definition. The adjective ecumenical refers to something universal or something that has wide and general application. In the world of Christianity, it refers to a universal ordination that has wide application. The word ministry is a verb, noun, and an adjective in English. These words center around the work the religious leader does in serving the congregation or local community. Another word closely related to this we coin as ecumenister. We define this term as referring to a local Christian leader who is ordained to do ministry in a wide range of settings in Christendom. While Christian Leaders Alliance comes from a biblical perspective, we are careful to center on the ministry training that does not focus on the differences between the strands of Christianity. Instead, the curriculum is to be beneficial for ministry leaders throughout Christendom. So what does local deacon minister ordination have to do with all this? After students finish their first two classes, they have an opportunity to pursue this local ecumenistry ordination. Students can enroll in a credit hour class, one credit hour class, that goes over what a deacon minister ordination means. And of course, I mentioned before, this could be considered as elder ministry ordination by a local church, but that's their call to make. We will do everything around the concept of deacon minister because we think it's the most reproducible example of ordination in the early church. It works like this. They are all taught ministry. They must receive 3 recommendations from endorsers. This is in that one credit class, by the way. 1 recommendation from their spouse if married, and another family member. 1 from their local pastor or mentor, and 1 from a person in their community. So let's review the Christian Leaders Alliance steps for ordination as a minister here at Christian Leaders Institute. First, enrollment in ministry training at Christian Leaders Institute. 2, take the Getting Started class. That's 4 credits. You are in that class right now. And then you will take the Christian Basics class, which you can even test out of if you already know your basic Christian doctrines. Then 3, take the Deacon Minister course, which is 1 credit. Take more ministry, and then what happens, you become ordained locally as a minister, as a deacon minister, and you will get your ordination certificates in the mail if you want the official ones. There is a fee for the official documents. Now, what you can do then is once your deacon minister ordination is established, you can take more ministry training courses depending on a deepening role that you are preparing for. And then at that point, you're not ordained again, but you're commissioned into a specialized ordained ministry. So, these are opportunities for you at Christian Leaders Institute. And what I'm excited for you is that you have these opportunities. So, again, this ecumenistry means, it's from the word ecumenical, that's kind of the inspiration word, that this word ecumenical is, it's the universal church. So we get the ecu out of there. And then ministry is that we can work with denominations, independent denominations, in a way that can serve them in raising up qualified leaders because we have this international directory. Now, having said all that, whether you think of ordination more as in the traditional way, the clergy way, Christian Leaders Institute provides for that. Or if you think of ordination as, this can help a local denominational church by having an ordination piece that works locally that still has international credibility for people who are interested to serve in their local communities and pastors who want to mobilize others to serve with them, and yet they're still ordained. All of these things are opportunities for you, and I pray that God blesses you. Now, if you're not interested in ordination at all, now you've listened to this presentation, and you can move on to your studies and get ready to dive into your program. Next, in this class, we're going to deal with a few more issues. You know, the most important is a walk with God. You know, do you have that walk with God? What's that like? This is a faith-based institution. We want you to have a walk with God, a reproducible walk with God, so that you can be more effective. We want you to be a Christian leader. Whatever you do in this life, we ask that you will be blessed by the Lord and that you will thrive as a Christian leader and that you will be noticed, not because of your own merit, but because of what Christ is doing with you. So continue on. Don't give up. You're almost halfway through this getting started class. You're almost there to get your scholarship. Don't let that go. This is your opportunity to take your next step in what God is calling you to do.